through 14. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew, as touching the law, there's concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, excess, all of the parts. My Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them, but dung, that I may with Christ. And he found in them, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, he may be comfortable today, if by any means he might obtain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either or already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you again. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who gave an ultimate price, sacrifice. We do remember the soldier and the sailor and marine and airman, Lord, who gave their life, but Lord, their life only gained the eternal life. It's eternal life, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we want to remember, honor, and praise you for that you've done for us. I pray, Lord, just speak to your people through the word. He's in an imprisonment. My understanding is he was on a house arrest, so it wasn't like he was in a dungeon at this time, although there were times where he had been. At this given this specific at all times, physically chained to him. And while this centurion was chained to him, He had a captive audience, literally a captive audience. Couldn't go nowhere. But through this time, if you take the time to read Philippians, it talks about the palace was influenced. Paul's ministry in imprisonment at that time was really to the palace of Caesar. Paul took every opportunity to spread the gospel. But as that's where he was physically at, but he's writing a letter to the Christians, to the church of Philippi. And I would encourage you to read through Philippians. It's four chapters long. And there's just a lot of, I mean, of course, the Bible's rich, but we're just going to zero in on a passage that I read to my family a few nights ago. And it starts off with a warning to the people of Philippi. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. There was a doctrine out there that was a doctrine of circumcision. It was these Greek Christians were being pressed to follow circumcision in order to attain, to basically complete their salvation.
So when I was first reading that word there, I lost the word. But anyways, I didn't really fully understand it, and had to do with the word understanding or the conscience. But I went ahead and looked it up, and it literally means to be cut apart. And so when he said that, Paul goes on to say that we are to be circumcised by Christ, not a physical circumcision, but a separation from the world. That was what set us apart. So when I was putting this together, concision was the practice that was pushed on the Greek Christian, that circumcision was destined. But it means to be cut away. We are circumcised from Christ. We are sanctified, cut away from this world. There is a dogma that the Bible says it's hard to be cut away. So I'm going to call the doctrine doctrine that preaches Baptist. In the parallel that I'm making here is that these guilty of Christians were having the work pressed upon them to give them salvation. Well, I don't really care about that particular work being pressed upon but there's still pressed upon. That's the doctrine of Baptism. So, talk about that a little bit. Okay. There's a doc. Here's the doctrine that Paul warns. He said, first off, to be wary of the dogs. He refers to the people who spread false doctrine. We a lot of people love dogs nowadays. But dogs, some cultures are a filthy animal. And not to be messed with. And so as we talk about baptism, I'm going to flip over to 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Acts 3:38. We're going to start off with where this entire doctrine. Acts 3:38 states, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, if that is your entire reference for your doctrine, it would sound like you would need baptism as part of your salvation. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The repentance is the part of the salvation. So again, if you take that verse singularly, and that's all you read, you can see how it would believe baptism would be a necessary part of your salvation. But if we as we take scripture as a whole, and you flip to John 1:33, the Bible says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize," this is John the Baptist speaking of Christ, "and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and him, saying, Which baptizeth with me, who is a baptism and salvation." But it's not to a child, it's the baptism. See, filthy water from ball play ain't gonna cleanse your sins. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. That is what washes you away. You can't take something physical and think it's going to wash something away spiritually.
It takes the blood, not water. We're going to go on a little bit more.
1 Corinthians 1:14. I said 1 Corinthians and I put it in Romans.
Now we've got to find it.
I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1:14. 1:14, I apologize.
First Corinthians 1:14-17.
This is Paul saying, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Cyprus,
lest any should say that I had baptized. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus.
Besides,
I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ said thee not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made and done at death. See, the doctrine of baptism makes the doctrine of the cross at death. The Church of Christ believes that if you repent of your sin, but you don't get in those baptismal waters, the cross of Christ is at death.
Doesn't go.
And takes up the physical, life, spiritual.
He said, lest people say they're baptized in his name. You see, if baptism was essential for salvation, then Paul was a wicked person.
It's held somebody. Right.
He said, for Christ sent not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
Right, look over to Peter. Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Context, say, don't jump up to starting at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein who that is eight, a like figure to baptism, even comes back that also now save us. And then it says, not putting away in the film of the flesh, but the by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Yep. Baptism is a symptom of its death, its burial. How we identify with Christ.
But if you've been baptized, you need to get baptized. You ought to have been a new believer. So we do believe in being baptized as soon as it's able, but it's a step of obedience. It's that first step of obedience. If you don't do that first step of obedience, you're stepping off your Christian life on the wrong foot. If you're not willing to do something as simple as being baptized, are you going to be willing to do the more challenging things that Christ calls us to do as believers? He gave us a simple command to be baptized. So we do believe baptism is important in the life of a young believer. But we don't want to make baptism the cause of Christ being, the cross being of none effect. The cross, what, not even the cross, let's be careful. It's not even the cross. It's what Christ did on the cross. It was the shedding of his blood that for now we can be forgiven of our sins. So why do I bring all this up? It was, so Frank, to be honest with you, I didn't plan on preaching on baptism. I've been going through Philippians with my family, and I get this passage. Don't worry that I didn't have kids. Back then, Philippians, Philippian Christians were having the doctrine of circumcision pressed and pressed and pressed upon them. And although that doctrine is not really being pressed upon us today, there's still just as damnable of a doctrine being pressed on us today by those who would have us believe we have to do the work of baptism to be saved, when it's not the case. Paul goes on to explain in verses 4 through 6. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, if anybody could have confidence, anybody that looks at itself, that I did all the right things. And he goes off with how to give a stop at the flesh. He goes on to say, circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews. But I wasn't just Hebrew, I was Catholic. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. That I was perfect. I was born in the right family. I kept all the rituals. I was zealous. I was on fire for the law of David. You could find no fault. I said, if it was anybody, who could trust in their own righteousness, he said it was faith. But he goes on to say, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see, when God revealed himself to Saul, who would later become known as Paul, on the road to Damascus, and he got saved, all those accolades, all those positions, all those, he was, in the world's eyes, successful, was loss. He goes on to describe it as dung. Everything he did, he said, was loss. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He won Christ. He gave up all the world's accolades. I've heard preachers say that he was probably on track to be the next high priest. He was blameless in all things. He was born in the right family. He did all the right things. From a worldly perspective, he was doing everything right. He was probably going to be a future high priest. But he said, that's dung. He said, I won Christ. He gave up his temporal life. But he gained eternity with his Savior. I count it as loss for Christ. I win Christ. He said, not my righteousness, but it was his faith in Christ and Christ's righteousness. Philippians 1, 20 and 21, they say, some commentators say this is the heartbeat of this book right here. Verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20 said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that which all will... According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in
that all things as all those, so now also in Christ shall be magnified in the body, whether it be by life or by death. He goes on to say, this is what, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
He goes on, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose if I wot not? For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better.
He wasn't afraid of depart. He had a desire to be with the Savior. But he goes on.
Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Now, Paul wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect in all sin. But he said so. Salvation. Strive likewise. Christ said to his heavenly Father, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, so we could be saved.
And Paul says here in verse 24, he said if he has a desire to be with Christ, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It was more needful for him to be here on earth, continuing the ministry that God set before him, so he could minister to the Philippians. Of course, we know he didn't just minister to the Philippians. He ministered to the Galatians, the Ephesians. He ministered to the Romans. And he still ministers to us through the inspired Word of God. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
And having this confidence that I know that I shall abide in the book that is
more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. And so, Paul here, he reminds us not to be pressed aside
on doctrines.
He pressed that on to the Galatians, preached on them a few weeks ago. They were having false doctrines pressed upon them about having to live by the law. the Philippians were being pressed upon them to be circumcised. There's all kinds of doctrines out in this world. Summer's coming and vacation Bible school is going to be running rampant. Almost every church is going to have their vacation Bible school out there. And there's a lot of parents that see vacation Bible school as a week long of free babysitting.
I'm virtually
grandkids. Please don't send them to every vacation Bible school that's out there. Because these false doctrines, these damnable doctrines, are going to be taught to these children. Because all of them have one thing in mind, and that is to indoctrinate these children. I mean, truth be told, is that not what we're trying to do? But we want to make sure that they're getting the right doctrine from the Word of God, rightly divided. But if you can say, oh, well, we're going to get some stories about Jesus and some cookies and crackers, and I'll get a break, you're gambling with your children, your grandkids. Because the Bible says it's not an offer. But if you let your kids just go to him and others, then you child off the authority for any period of time.
Also, beware of dogs. Beware. Whatever doctrine that they prescribe, they may have a low cause, but it's poison that they're. That is all that. Oh, that's a mystery. Totally. Problem.
He started Sunday school. That's where Sunday school started. Sunday school isn't like hundreds of years old. Sunday school's not even in the Bible. It was started because there were inner city kids. His parents didn't know God. And he was just trying to reach them and get some knowledge into them, and that's a noble thing, and I am not condemning Sunday school. But the reason it existed was because the parents weren't good. So I urge you, don't rely on other entities. Parents, do your job. God gave those children to you for you to train, for you to open up God's word, for you to teach them, but not to gamble.
Baptist churches, they call. One of these churches, they're big churches, and if you show up and join the church and want to be excited to be a part, they'll give you some sort of a position or let you do something. They may have no understanding of God's word or even be saved.
I believe it was Brother Ronnie Simpson said that he won a lady to the Lord and she'd been a Sunday school teacher for years. And I hear stories about that. People saying, I was a Sunday school teacher for years and I didn't know the Lord. What were they teaching those kids? The Holy Spirit wasn't even speaking to them. How's that going to get passed on to the children? Parents, grandparents, it's parents' responsibility. But if there's a lack, grandparents, please step in and make sure that your children, your grandchildren, have the word of God, and that you're just not leaving it to somebody. Beware of the dogs. Hendricks. There's a lot of false doctrines out there. There's a lot of false doctrines out there. And we need to be careful. If you haven't been saved and put your faith in Christ alone, no works, Christ alone. If you haven't put your faith in Christ alone and you need to be saved, I urge you to come today and be saved. If you have been saved and there's pressures from family or friends from the community and they say, oh, come bring your kid or come visit us for a Sunday or whatever, please beware of the dogs. As Paul describes it, beware of those lead you astray to trust in any kind of a work. Walk with the Lord. The altar is open. You may have something on your heart that had nothing to do with today's service. Have a burden.